there's bad doctrine out there. There's twisted scriptures. There's unsound doctrine. There are doctrines of demons and men. We are not to listen to that. But the Word of God, all scripture, rightly divided, is to be that which is taught.
Thanks for joining us for this New Year's Day edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, Happy New Year to you and your family.
Dave, Happy New Year to you also and your family, and a Happy New Year to our listeners as well.
Well, as we begin this new year, your message today gives us a great foundation to build upon for the rest of the year.
And Dave, our message today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and it is an excellent reminder for us to keep the Word of God central in our walk with Christ in this new year, 2025. So with that in mind, let's turn to a wonderful passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're beginning with verse 16.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
The Apostle Paul is no way limiting the scriptures by putting in this modifier. The term all means all. All scriptures inspired by God. And even in 2 Peter chapter 3, we have the Apostle Peter speaking of Paul's writings as scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3, turn there, 2 Peter chapter 3. It says 2 Peter 3:15, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which some of them are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do the rest of the scriptures, implying that his word is the scriptures, to their own destruction. Indeed, when the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, rebuking them concerning their pride, he made it clear that his word, 1 Corinthians 14, was the Lord's commandments. Let him recognize the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So then all scripture, New and Old Testament, is literally God-breathed. But you might say, how did God do that? How did God bring forth his word and put it on paper? Didn't man write the word of God? Didn't man do it? How is it God's word on paper? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. God inspired men to speak his word. Men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. We have the tremendous reality that it is the Spirit of God that brought about the word of God through his willing servants. So here we have God who had moved men to speak by his Spirit, his word, and thus all scripture is God-breathed. And folks, we have the completed word of God. We have the word once for all delivered to the saints in Jude 1:3. We have the warning in Revelation chapter 22 to not add or subtract from God's word. All scripture is literally God-breathed. It's God's word. And indeed, in 1 Peter chapter 4, those who had speaking gifts were to speak as they were the utterances of God. They were to speak God's word. And if you've genuinely been saved, you'll receive God's word as what it really is. And those who share it will rejoice over that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. Praise the Lord, you received it as God's word for what it really is. It's from him. And on a side note, if you don't believe the word of God, you're not a believer. If you don't accept the word of God, you're not his child. You see, the true believer accepts the word of God. In fact, this is an indicator of whether one is saved. It's not the only indicator, but it's one indicator. In John 10, Jesus makes it clear, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In 1 John chapter 4, we have a test that shows whether someone knows the Lord or not, based on their acceptance of the apostles' writing, which is Scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Praise the Lord for that. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world. You could classify churches that way. And the world listens to them, okay? We, speaking of the apostles, this is John, are from God, and he who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is how you can know it. Very clear. If someone says, I believe Jesus' word, but I don't believe Paul, I don't like that. They don't accept the word of God. They're not saved. They need Jesus. They need the gospel. Because then when they receive Christ as Lord and Savior, as they believe in him, they'll receive the Spirit of God, and then they will understand and accept the word of God. So then, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Now, for those of you who are believers, you'll never grow in your relationship with the Lord unless you have an accurate and high view of God's word. Not an idolatrous view of it, by the way. There's a lot of idolatry with God's word around. I'm talking about a real, accurate view of this word coming from the living God and who it's coming from and what it does. All scripture is literally God-breathed. So in contrast to the wicked deceivers who are wrangling about words, bringing about all sorts of junk and stories, we see the first element of the nature of God's word is that it is literally God-breathed. And let me share this. If you're going to a church that is not focused on Christ through the proclamation of his word by his Spirit, rightly divided, dependent on him, you're being duped and being deceived. In contrast to all the false teachers and wicked deceiving men, it is Scripture upon the humble, receptive heart that God uses to make us like Christ. So we need to be reminded that every word is God's word. It's from God. He's declaring it to us. And our response will be an evidence of where we are at with him. So then, all Scripture is literally breathed by him. Now notice we're going to get into some understandings of what it does for us. Notice first of all, it's profitable. All Scripture is inspired by God, and second characteristic of it, inspired, God-breathed, and profitable. All Scripture is inspired, all Scripture is profitable. Those two things. The term profitable speaks of that which is helpful, that which yields advantageous results or returns. All Scripture is beneficial. It is profitable. Now, it's not all Scripture in terms of like the word and, right? It's the word in its intent. God speaks to us. He is the living God. He speaks to us through his word. And when it's rightly understood in its right context, we see that as intended by the Spirit of God, it is profitable. All of it yields advantageous results. So many Christians seeking that which they think is spiritually profitable, yet they're from other things than God's word. It doesn't say all worship music is profitable. It doesn't say all, whatever it might be, is profitable. All Scripture is profitable. Yes, we praise the Lord and we sing praises to him, but it is the Scripture that is profitable. So where do you go to get your spiritual needs met? Is it to the Lord through his word by faith? You know, do you go to the Word expecting to hear from him, desiring to hear from him, wanting him to speak to you through his Word specifically? All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is profitable. Now, not only is it God-breathed and profitable, it also does things. It has some things that are done. What is it profitable for? All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable, one, for teaching, two, for reproof, three, for correction, four, for training in righteousness. Four things that Scripture leads to advantageous or beneficial results. You have this term four here. Now, some translations only put one four in and then have the ands. Four for teaching and reproof. And I don't think that's a good translation. Because the original language, it says, pros, it's profitable unto this, pros, unto this, pros, unto this. There's an emphasis on each specific area. It is profitable for each one of these things. It's important to realize the scripture written, original language, original manuscripts, brings out pros, these four things. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for. Now, what is it profitable for? Notice, first of all, it is profitable for teaching. The Greek word translated teaching here is didaskalia. And it primarily refers to that which is taught. It's often translated doctrine. And doctrine sounds like a fancy theological word, but it simply means that which is taught. There's bad doctrine and there's good doctrine. There are doctrines of demons. There's true doctrine. There's healthy doctrine. That which is taught. Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. That's our word. That which is taught. Written for doctrine. The scriptures are where we find our instruction. Don't go, if someone wants to instruct you in terms of your walk with Christ and everything that's pertaining to life and godliness, don't go anywhere else than the Word of God. All scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for this. It's profitable for our teaching. It's where we find our instruction. Now, the Bible does reveal there are doctrines of men, doctrines of demon. There's sound or healthy teaching or doctrine. There's unsound and unhealthy teaching and doctrine. And there's all kinds of wicked teaching out there going on. Doctrines of demons and men, teaching them as though they are doctrines of God. Matthew 15, I'm going to read that. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll read Matthew 15 for you. Speaking of the Pharisees, Matthew 15, and I'll read this for you, verse 8. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, taking man's wisdom and teaching it as though it's God's instruction. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says, now I find it so interesting, people, you know, will understand this when they look at it here on paper, but when it happens around them, they don't accept it. We need to apply the Word of God to what God says will happen. Notice what he says. He says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith. That means they're in the faith, quote unquote, but they're going to fall away from it in a sense. And he says here, fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And he's going to explain what those are here. By means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. And here's one of the doctrines of demons. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from certain foods. It's a doctrine of demons to say this food's bad or evil. Now you could say I don't like that. I don't like Brussels sprouts or whatever. That's fine. But saying it is evil versus good. There are foods that are more spiritual than not spiritual. Notice what he says here. That's a doctrine of demons. He says here, advocate it, and then abstaining from foods from which God has created gratefully to be shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified, it's set apart by means of the word and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and a sound doctrine which you've been following, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for old women. Don't get involved in that junk, Timothy. Doctrines of demons. Indeed, there are those who twist scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Let's turn here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote you, also in his letters, speaking of the things which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort. And he says, notice, as they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, knowing they're going to take the difficult passages and they're going to distort them. They're going to take the ones that are hard to understand. He says, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and in the day of eternity. Amen. The reality is, there's bad doctrine out there. There's twisted scriptures. There's unsound doctrine. There are doctrines of demons and men. We are not to listen to that. But the Word of God, all Scripture, rightly divided, is to be that which is taught. That's why we teach the Word of God in everything we do. There's nothing else to teach. What an arrogant, pompous fool I would be to teach you anything other than the Word of God. The reality is, that's what grows us. That's what's profitable, as we'll see. It's the Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. It's the framework for what is taught. And brothers and sisters, we're living in a time of a church apostatizing before our eyes. And there are those apostates and those deceived who go in these wicked evangelical and denominational churches, that they go to those churches that are led by ungodly men to have their ears tickled because they can no longer endure or sit under or remain under sound teaching, instruction, or doctrine. Timothy's going to say that a little farther on, right after our passage. Very interesting. Right after our passage, after he says all Scripture, he says what it is, he goes right into it. Then preach it, Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Now, he just said what it was, all Scripture, didn't he? Be ready in season and out of season. And we're out of season, brothers and sisters. I'll tell you that right now. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. You should be reproved. You should be rebuked and exhorted. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and it has. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths or stories. It's happening wholeheartedly. And the people that give those myths and stories out are evil men and women. Evil. So Timothy is solemnly charged to preach the word in light of the nature of the word. And what a sad thing in churches these days, stories and video clips rather than sound doctrine. A verse here and there just sprinkled in to make it sound biblical. And lately I'm seeing a trend here of churches that are rebounding the other way from secret churches. The word's taught, but yet it's not taught rightly, and many theologically incorrect, unsound, not divided rightly through systems of theology rather than the word coming forth as it was intended. The focus on man or man's reason or ability to comprehend rather than man's total inability to receive the word apart from dependence on Christ. You need to realize that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching that which is taught. Have you placed yourself under sound doctrine, biblical instruction? Have you put yourself under places that you've had your ears tickled and thought, well, that wasn't so great? You need to repent. I shouldn't have been there. I should have walked out of there. When we were looking for churches here, when we first came here, we walked out of many. We left them. No good. They're not teaching the Word of God. So then, all Scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching. Now notice, it's not only profitable for teaching, it's profitable for one other thing. Actually, there's three more. For reproof. For reproof. All Scripture is profitable for reproof. The term proselegmon, reproof, speaks of bringing to light, exposing, setting it forth. God's Word is advantageous to bring to light or expose our sinfulness, and we are sinful. We are sinful. We mess up. We fail. And God's Word exposes that. And we need it desperately. We need to be reproved. Some people know all the truth and have it all down, but they're never reproved. We need to be reproved. We need to be willing to have a heart that recognizes our sinfulness, to allow God's Word to expose that. And how delighted Satan must be when God's Word is watered down and there's no reproof. There's no conviction. You can come to a church service and never be convicted of sin. Walk out feeling just happy as a clam. What a shame. But Scripture is profitable for reproof. And this term reproof is interestingly put in parallel with the truth about the Holy Spirit, John chapter 16. And when he comes, he will convict or reprove the world of sin. Paul told Titus in the context of speaking God's word to reprove with all authority. Titus 2:15, these things speak, exhort, and reprove with all authority. Expose it with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Yet how much reproof do we hear these days? Yet if God's word is being taught rightly and rightly divided, there's going to be reproof. If people are preaching the word, they are to be reproving with the word of God. And folks, if I'm not reproved as I study, and if I'm not reproved while I'm preaching, something is wrong. We need to be reproved, because God's word reproves. I need to be reproved. You need to be reproved. We're all sinful. We need God to expose it. Now, I could go through a myriad of passages that speak of reproof, but I want to look at a few. First of all, I want to look in the Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, because you're going to notice and see that true believers are those who are reprovable. Not reprovable by somebody coming along saying something specifically. I'm not talking about external reproof at this point. Yes, there is reproof from those who come alongside. I'm talking about God's word working on your heart and causing you to be exposed and go, wow, that was wrong. My attitude was wrong. What I just said was wrong. My attitude towards them or whatever it might be, I'm exposed. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? This is wisdom personified speaking. It's like God's wisdom is his word, but it's personified. It's calling out. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour my spirit out of you. I'll make my words known to you. But notice this contrast. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when your distress and anguish comes on you, then they will call on me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them. The complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me, that's wisdom, lives securely and shall be at ease of the dread of evil. A little farther up, Proverbs 3:11, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. Don't reject it. God disciplines us. He reproves us. If you're a true believer, you realize, oh man, this is wrong. Lord, you're exposed. You're humbled. You confess it.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up this New Year's broadcast, what's one prayer request you might have for us?
You know, Dave, the biggest prayer request I have for this year is that people turn back to the Word of God and the God of the Word, that they would find their satisfaction in the person of Jesus Christ, not in experience or spiritual gimmicks or religiosity, but in living a life of obedience and surrender, in humility, giving all glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we begin to live life that way in our individual lives, it will certainly have a ripple effect to those around us, in our families, our communities, in our churches. And it's my prayer that you get to know the Word of God and the God of the Word even better in 2025. And so from all of us at Equipping the Saints, Happy New Year.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.